I see what I did wrong. Now let me go do it right.
Yeah, exactly. This guy, the student that I used this for, he was foaming at the mouth to come back and do it. You know, and he did it. It was such a great tool. So I think that there's so many different ways this could be used. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's awesome. So, but yeah. So they, you know, so there's the whole element of virtual CFI, right? So you could have being a flight instructor doesn't necessarily mean. There is an FAA definition of flight. You have to have a license in order to sign people off and endorse them for check rides and stuff. But it doesn't mean we can't be virtual CFIs and we all teach each other something. And, video is a great way to do that.
Well, and there's a, I'm going to look it up here. There's a video system for instruction that I've seen at Oshkosh and others that does all the, engine instruments. It has videos of the pilot, has like multiple views, and it's an actual software solution. I wonder how they distribute. I wonder, they probably just give a CD to the student.
Yeah.
But here's something that
they
could keep all their training records.
Right. Absolutely.
On SparkReel.
A lot more real-time updating to that as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As opposed to just a disc that, is not constantly evolving. SparkReel is constantly evolving. We're uploading new things all the time, and it seems like that would be a forum for someone to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So Lewis, here's a question for you. What's a video, an aviation video that you have a burning desire to capture that you have not captured yet?
Ooh, wow, burning desire. I've got to say that I want to, to the topic of airports I'd like to go into, I want to just go up to Milwaukee at some point. Just, hey, there's another big airport I want to go into, and that's surely going to be a rare experience for me as a non-professional pilot. So, yeah, I want to get up there and record that landing and record that takeoff, much like Mark did, and then have a permanent memory with me that I can go back and instantly play back.
Right.
And so that's on the near term top of my list.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam?
You know what? Mine's a little bit more simplistic. I just want someone, a passenger, to capture that crosswind landing where just that one wheel touches down, right? And nothing else.
Right.
And, maybe someone could stick their cell phone out the window or something for me when we've got a 15-knot crosswind.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I actually did a few of those in my early years. Unfortunately, there was no such thing as all this. There wasn't even an internet back then, so... You'll just have to believe me. It was...
But I did have one of those landings. I flew with my instructor to Michigan City. Had one of those landings. We were the only plane there. We happened to have a camera mounted on the side of the plane, and he's got the video, and he hasn't given it to me yet, so I think he's holding it for ransom.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the problem sometimes, and something that SparkReel really addresses is that, and we talked about this on other shows of, today is in the day of now. I want it now, right? And I certainly don't want to capture a video. I'm all excited about it right then and there, and I want to post it and show it.
Yep.
Go like, look at this, and I think it's the most awesome thing on the face of the planet. Everybody should look at it. But, so that's burn and desire to post something is right then and there. So it's kind of neat. You can, one thing I've actually done is that, while you're, in flight as a passenger, you can compose the email and everything so that all you have to in flight, so that all you do is when you're going to turn your phone on when you land, the phone just takes care of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of neat, that need is satisfied, the need of now, both as the viewer and as the poster, if you will.
Well, Al and Mark, you're both hired as salesmen. I mean,
that's great. Yeah. Well, no, I think the more we talk about this, the more, it's kind
the
of
the ideas begin to percolate. And you say, hey, I think I could do this or use that. Yeah, and I think that's cool.
Maybe we could be also amazing people doing amazing things today.
No, yeah, that'll never happen.
No, I will tell you, as a student, your idea is really interesting about, you know, what if there was this private group where you could share teachable moments
with
your students. And I think about the things that I've practiced time and time again as a student that I have trouble with, you know, power on turning stall.
Right.
You know, where I try to come out of the stall and I didn't quite get it. And I challenge myself to sort of try and remember, you know, what did I do wrong there? What could I have done better? And if you had these little tidbits of teachable moments, that could be really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. These breakthroughs and things like that. It's just kind of a... there are very many teachable moments. It's kind of hard to capture those and relive them to make things better. You know, I think that's a really really neat thing.
Yeah, I mean, speaking to my own training, I remember learning crosswind landings and almost getting tunnel vision when I was right about to touch down and being able to go back and look at what actually happened. And slow it down and maybe watch it a few times would have helped me much faster learn the techniques that have taken a while to develop. So I think it's great to have a teaching tool that you can put that tunnel vision away and see actually what was going on while you were doing all of that stuff.
Right.
Very cool.
Right. Definitely. Well, how about this? We got some great ideas percolating, and how about we take a quick little break? I got some good flying music queued up for our listeners, some potential soundtracks for aviation videos to be posted on SparkReel, and then we'll take a 3-song break, and we'll come back and figure out how to make aviation better. How's that sound?
Perfect.
All right. Excellent.
Oh, Chocolate on my fingers, icing on my lips, sugar diabetes and blubber on my hips. I keep the nightlight burning in the kitchen, baby, so I can go downstairs and cruise. I got them Mojo creeps and wind. Chocolate covered creep filled with the blue. I hide them in the cabinet. I keep them in a jar. For emergencies, you know, I keep them in the glove compartment of my car. And I can't live without them. They get me high and I can get on booze. I got them Mojo cream sandwiches, chocolate covered cream real good. Thank you.
doctor says I'm crazy. You better give him up and quit. Or you be pushing up daisies.
Happiness, yeah. sound so soft, don't you agree? I invented sweat, popping bottles, putting supermodels in the cab. Proof.
I guess I got my swagger back.
Truth. New watch alert. New blows. Or the big face Rollie, I got two of those. Arm out the window through the city, y'all maneuver slow. Cut back, snap back, see my cut through the holes.
Damn, Easy and Hope, where the hell you been? Niggas talking real reckless, stuck man. I adopted these niggas, put them drumming in. Now I'm about to make them tuck their whole summer in. They say I'm crazy, but I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bins. Last week I was in my other bins. Throw your diamonds up, cause we in this bitch another again.
Photo shoot fresh. Looking like wealth, I'm about to call a paparazzi on myself. Live from the Mercer. Run up on Yeezy the wrong way, I might murk it. Flee in the G450, I might surface. Political refugee asylum can be purchased. Everything's for sale. Got 5 passports, I'm never going to jail.
I made Jesus walks, I'm never going to hell. Couture level flow, it's never going on sale. Luxury rap, the Hermes of verses. Sophisticated ignorance, write my curses in cursive. I get it custom, you a customer. You ain't custom to going through customs. You ain't been nowhere, huh? And all the ladies in the house got them showing out. I'm done, I hit you up, man, yeah. Nah.
Welcome to Havana, smoking Cubanos with Castro and Cabanas. Viva Mexico, Cubano, Dominicano, all the plugs that I know. Driving Benzes with no benefits, not bad, huh? For some immigrants, build your fences, we digging tunnels. Can't you see we getting money up under you?
Can't you see the private jets flying over you? Maybach bumper stickery, what we're overdue? Jay is chilling, yay is chilling. What more can I say? We killing them. Hold up, before we end this campaign, as you can see, we done bodied the damn lames. Lord, please let them accept the things they can't change, and pray that all of their pain be champagne.
Miss Marv, M-O-B-B. Can't be touched, nigga, can't you see?
You, man, cause me, I'm gon' do my thing.
You know I do my thing.
I'ma get my drink on and party like it's okay.
Trust me, man, it's okay. Bounce with me in slow-mo. When they hear the kid in the house, they like, oh no. 50 got them looking again. They open again. Got them sipping on that juice and gin. You can find me in the background, burning that backwoods. Styling, stunting, doing my two-step fronting. Now I'ma tell you what them told me, homie. Just lose it, parental discretion's advised. This is grown folk music. Now blend in with me as I proceed to break it down. It's always off the chain, man, when I'm around. I play the block pumping. It was all for the dough. I get the club jumping, cause I'm sick with the flow. You know it's so loud, like wherever I go. I jam pack the show, man, that's for sure. I got the info, you already know. Man, I get it popping in the club. Everybody show me love, let's go.
You know I got what it takes to make the club go out of control. Quit playing, turn the music up a little bit. Bounce with me now, shout it, let's get into it. You know I got what it takes to make the club go out of control. Quit playing, turn the music up a little bit. Bounce with me now, homie, let's get in.
You wanna search me, then search me, but hurry up, cause I'm thirsty. I need that brand in my system, pee on my side twisting. In club, through babe, with a chick to go both ways. Let me see that ID for room for. Put a drink till the worm is gone. Hit the dance floor like a scene from soft porn. For it pop, make them sign a disclaimer. Try to get me on some pop shit, these tricks are framing. But in any event, he fucking with 50, it makes sense. Into them dollars, the hoes wanna holler. But you looking at a nigga that done came from the squalor. Now my money's so long, I could pop your collar. Now follow, say nothing, let me see you swallow. In my crib, got the cold air bathed in the problem. In the club, feed the liquor, otherwise we starve them. So much green getting twisted like potato garden. Let's go.
You know I got what it takes to make the club go out of control. Quit playing, turn the music up a little bit. Bounce with me now, shout it, let's get into it. You know I got
what it takes to make the club go out of control. Good plan, turn the music up a little bit. Bounce with me now, homie, let's get it.
You already know how I go, I bang, I shine. I play, I stay, I'm going for mines. I'm young, I'm black, I'm rich, and yes, I'm ghetto in the motherfucking project steps. I'm cool, I'm calm, you looking real stressed. I'm strapped, I'm on kick, hold your head. I'm known for gap popping. When I got problems, I don't run, I just gun you all up. But we ain't come here to start no drama. We just looking for our future baby mamas. With money, with face, with style and body. I cook, I clean, I swear that mommy. Just as long as you don't go off and tell nobody. I go down low, I'm lying, I'm trying my best to let you know. Sugar pop, get that P to Doc.
Church on Sunday morning.
You get a line, I get a pole. We'll go up
we'll
the
go fishing in
the crawfish. Down in the boondocks.
On Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
You get a line, I get a pole. We'll go up
we'll
the shore. Down in the boondocks.
On Saturday night,
church on Sunday morning. You get a line, I get a pole. We'll go up
the
shore. Down in the boondocks.
One, two, three, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
We'll be right back.
Well, we're back. Had a good little break there, welcome back. We're here with Mark Eppner. I'm Al Waterloo, and we got the guys from Spark Reel, Mr. Lewis and Adam, with us. And so far, I think we've done a pretty good job of seeing how Spark Reel can virtually connect us. And how do you guys feel about that?
I'm feeling connected because we're here.
We're here
with you doing the show.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So well, and before tonight, I knew Lewis, but I didn't know Adam.
Exactly.
So built the family up. That's the kind of things that happen here.
When
you get the community together and you have different pieces bring us together.
Right.
It just grows.
So here, Adam, here's a question. Did you ever think that? So here, we can't discount this, right? So Spark Reel is just just to the user, it's a website, right? It's it's a way to share experiences and all that. But this is Spark Reel in the flesh. We're all here sitting here talking about this, and we've connected. We've made introductions tonight, and we've learned more about each other and things like that. That's got to be a pretty cool feeling to know that. This is a byproduct of Spark Reel that maybe you didn't even think about when you started it.
And I'm not sure that we knew that would happen, but now I think that we see it. It's core to our mission,
right?
That we can connect people that are just acquaintances with similar interests, and when you get to see sort of the things people are doing and experiencing, it can bring people together. And it's a testament to what social communities have really done,
right?
Bringing people with interests together and building relationships,
right?
Whether it you're able to hang out in the flesh or whether you're thousands of miles away,
right?
And we'd love to be able to continue to do that.
Absolutely. I think one of the big things, at least here at the Flying Club that we're at, you've built a really nice sense of community, right? And you keep going back to the common unity, and that's a key element of learning, I think, because it puts everybody at an equal playing field and all that. So, I think it helps drive a sense of learning and flying. There's these things called, we say personal minimums, right? Mm-hmm. So on Saturday mornings, you find us all out at the airport and, motivating each other, using that community to help motivate each other to go up in the clouds or go on the backside of a thunderstorm and take a look at it with a weather radar. It's this element of motivation and learning, and I don't know, it's kind of like a personal fitness trainer.
I'm actually going through my head something that funny that happened with a similar story. One of the members of the club was kind of giving me a little crap, we'll say, because there was some weather coming in. It was during the winter, and he said, "You go fly." And I was with another student that was actually an instrument student. And, "Go fly. You should go. You'll get some in the cloud time. It's just a little low clouds." So we decided, okay, he egged us on. He had no intention of flying himself, mind you. We got into this airplane, and as we're taxiing out, now we're getting the lineup and wait, a snowstorm hits us. And this club member that had egged us on and got convinced us that this was going to be a good experience and it was going to be fun said he was back there laughing so hard. He couldn't even see us because the snow was blowing so hard. And he was just walking to his car. And he said, "Those guys are going up in this stuff."
That's pretty...
But it was a good experience. And we picked up some ice and saw what it did to the airplane. It didn't fall out of the sky. So, you know, we respect ice, but we're not so afraid of it anymore. So, because we challenged our personal minimum.
Right,
and
right.
So, and that's kind of the learning that can come. Wish he'd come with us. He might have not been laughing so hard. But that's besides the point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, but, you know, we could use this... use this medium, Spark Reel, to maybe talk about. You know, I do have a video, and I don't know if I don't think I even posted it because it didn't turn out that well. But of flying in ice in the Kinger that I fly and popping the boots and watching it come off, you know, and seeing that, hey, boots are nice, but you know, when you pop them, not all the ice comes off. And you know, that was another inspiration, you know. In addition to the community and things like that I was trying to do, but I'll have to get a better movie when this winter.
Well, and you talk about personal minimums, but I remember another time, just talk about real minimums. We were going flying, and I checked Madison, Mike Sierra, in November, and it was below minimum. So I said, "Oh, the heck is that?"
Oh,
I didn't know we were going to have airplanes inside this studio. But Mike Sierra, November, Madison, Wisconsin, and they were reporting 100 feet below minimums.
Right.
And so I said, "We can't go." And the pilot I was with said, "What do you mean we can't go? We can't land, but only if it's truly this. Let's go check it out. It's a short flight, 35, 40 minutes from here. If it's that bad, we'll turn around and come home."
Yeah, right.
So I had never even thought about, can I do this? Never thought it was a good idea. Certainly when we got there, it was above minimums, not by a lot. But again, a wonderful experience. And if I had let regular minimums, let alone personal minimums, keep me from even making the attempt, you know, I don't think I would have learned as much. You know, my thought would be, whatever the weather says, I'm going to react to it that way rather than let's give it a try.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Though that's pretty cool because, you know, ultimately, you know, you tried that and, yeah, you probably had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And I'm talking about it here.
Right. Exactly.
So actually Adam and Lewis, we should ask them personal minimums or other. Have you ever kind of thought, gosh, I think I would almost rather be on the ground than in the air now, but at the end, you thought, okay, I'm glad I did it?
Absolutely. When I first got my license, I took a friend up in a 152, and I'd seen that the winds aloft were 45 to 50 knots at 3,000 feet. And at the surface, it was much calmer and within the minimums of the aircraft, which are pretty low in the 152.
Right.
And we took off, and it was like probably the bumpiest ride I'd ever experienced. And we were getting tossed all around, but it was a great opportunity for me to know what flying in those conditions are like, and also to not get overwhelmed by the situation and just kind of remember, hey, I'm a licensed pilot. I'm qualified to do this. I just need to fly the airplane. And it was so windy, I tried turning around. At one point, we were like, okay, we might as well go back because it's going to be that bumpy. But we started our turn. We were flying east. Started the turn to head back to Executive, Papa Whiskey Kilo. And by the time we had gone 180 degrees, we were a mile and a half off the shore. And so that was a great experience. But I know, if I see on the winds aloft forecast that it's 35, 40 knots, I still know I can fly in it. I'm not going to just call it a day.
Right.
And I think that was a great experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely been a couple times where, you know, just being on the heels of a storm or whatever. I think I was headed down to Gary once, and the weather was a little bit dicey down the coastline of Chicago. And but you get through it, and you realize that, you know, you're going to learn to fly in all these different conditions. And each time you do that, it feels like you take some strengths away that you'll be able to use somewhere down the line in your flight career.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah, Adam, you're a student pilot and you've soloed and all that. And I think that there's, so here's another here that let's bring it back to a flight instructor standpoint on all this, personal minimums. You know, part of that I think goes down to a flight training issue. You know, instructors encourage personal minimums, but it's kind of a weird, you know, it's a roadblock. It's an inhibitor to prevent people from continuing to learn. So, you know, you've soloed, right, Adam? And you've gone out and, you know, for the first part of flight training, you go out and, you know, it's an instructor's job to teach you how to fly an airplane. You know, how to be more than just that, but how to be an aviator. But once you solo, now you know your limitations. So when it's windy out, you know, let's say there's 25 knots of wind. You know, the instructor calls you up and says, "Hey, it's not going to be beneficial for you to go out in this type of wind, so let's cancel our lesson." You know, that's probably the worst thing an instructor could do, because you have the experience level that you need to transmit to the student who doesn't have those, you know, that those limit, you know, help broaden their limitations, you know. So there's a definite shift in flight training, I think, you know, from a student pilot, you know, from when they solo, you need to, it's all from that point on, I think it's instructor's job to really kind of transmit that experience level, you know, to the student, because that's why they hired them, you know. And I think that's a pretty big flaw in that in flight training now.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that may be one attribute that separates some of the better flight instructors from some of the more lax flight instructors. I've been lucky enough to have a flight instructor who's pretty aggressive with me.
Right. Yeah, that's
good. Where sometimes I was pre-programmed to say, you know, should we really be going up? And, you know, I can't say on the show exactly what he would say to me, but,
right,
you know, something along the lines of, you know, put your skirt back on and get out here, and, you know, you need to experience some stiff crosswind landings, and, you know, until you're able to do it in a calm manner. So I was lucky enough to have a flight instructor that was pretty aggressive with me, but
Right, absolutely. So you have a lot of fun that way. I think that keeps a student engaged. You know, when you do that as an instructor, you know, show them the experiences that they normally could not have. Like, I've taken a student into O'Hare. You know, that's without me in the airplane, they would not have been able to go there because it's against the FARs. You know, there's no student training or student pilots in certain Class B airports. But, you know. You know, I'm the pilot in command of the flight, so why not? Why not take them? You know, and then they realize, oh, well, maybe I can do this. You know, it tears down that little barrier that busts that myth with a jackhammer. It's kind of nice. But they have and ultimately that allows them to have a lot of fun. This is what, you know, aviation is all about. We talked about it last episode, right, Mark? What's wrong with aviation? It's nothing. It's fun, you know. We're kind of, you know, I wouldn't say not necessarily the problem, but we have the new solutions, you know, to make aviation, you know, fun for the modern day today.
And it's a mind shift that we have to see. We've talked before about how today's student, for whatever reason, not bad or good, that they focus. I want to achieve the goal of earning my private pilot license. I want to achieve the goal of doing X or Y, and while I'm a very goal-oriented person and I want to meet my goals, one thing I've learned, especially as of late, is the destination. Excuse me, the journey instead of just the destination.
Right, exactly.
And so it's not just about getting the pilot's license. It's about going out and saying, man, I battled a 25 knot crosswind today. I went up when it was 45 knots in the air. I did this. I did that. It doesn't matter whether you have your license yet or not.
Right.
So it's got to be more than I've been validated because I have this piece of paper that says I'm a certificated pilot.
Right. Exactly.
I love going up anytime with anyone. And if it's training or just for fun, it doesn't matter. It's still a flight.
Right. Absolutely. Here's another, I think, kind of fundamental flaw behind all this. So we talk, you know, aviation just isn't about, you know, people with pilot's license or airplanes and things like that. It, you know, there's the and I like to broaden this spectrum a little bit, and you know, one of those sit back and smell the roses type of things. But aviation is all around us, right? So you can go to O'Hare, you know, busiest airport in the world or one of the busiest, right? We have tons and tons of people going in and out of there, and they're all, you know, airline travelers. Without the travelers, you know, we wouldn't have airline pilots and airlines and things like that. So, how, you know, when's the last time you really got excited to fly on an airline or go through security or go into terminal 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 at O'Hare? You know, it's a hard question to ask or answer, because probably not in a long time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And we kind of alluded to it last time. You know, now you go to it and you feel like you're the proctologist, right?
When
you
yeah. Exactly.
Hence, I'm referring to the security,
right,
that you go through. And I think that's obviously detracted, but it's the world in which we live. But again, once I get through that security line, I'm going to be in an airplane, and I'd much prefer to be in a 4-seater than a 250-seater, but I still, at this age, I don't like the window seat, but I'm always looking out the window.
You don't like the window seat?
I don't.
Why?
Because I always like the aisle when I'm traveling the airliner, so I don't have to jump over people.
I would have pictured you as a window seat guy.
Well, my very first flight was in American Airlines Electra. We're back in the 60s. You know, 4-propeller turboprop, and I'm going to Buffalo, New York.
Wow.
And the entire flight, my forehead was against the window. And the flight attendant commented, and on the way out, she asked me to stop in the cockpit. And all I did was, what's this? What's that? What's that? I'm just pointing to all these things saying, what's this? I didn't, right. You know, I was just overwhelmed with it.
Right.
But that's when I knew I had to be a pilot. You know, and so I love looking out the window.
Right.
If I get a window seat, fine. I don't want to bother someone when I have to get up halfway through and go to the back of the airplane for Mother Nature, if you will.
Right, exactly, exactly. Now, Adam, are you a window seat guy or an aisle?
I'm actually an aisle guy myself.
Man, tough crowd. Why is that?
I think it's for the same reason. It's that if I need to get out, I can go. And, you know, I save the beautiful views, I guess, for when I'm in the smaller planes.
True. Well said. Lewis?
Window all the
all
way.
All right. Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. You saved it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you fly the airlines, you prefer the window seat?
I do. So I can take cool videos and post them to SparkReel, of course.
That's right.
I do. I like it because, you know, what's one thing being an airline pilot, it was interesting. You kind of understand how small the country is, and we live in a huge country, right? But you know if it was IMC, you're in the clouds, and all of a sudden you bust it out, and you could just look down. Oh, we're in Wyoming. Oh, here's Denver. It's kind of this you know, ground reference thing that was kind of neat. So I always like to watch a movie on my iPad and then just look out the window and say, there's Lake Havasu. Or there's Lake Powell, you know, and it's kind of neat to be able to keep that skill up and be sharp.
Yeah, when I'm flying the airlines and going over specifically famous landmarks, I'm pissed I'm in the aisle, right? Because now I'm, like, leaning over two other people or one other person, depending if I'm on the AB side or the CD
right.
E side. But, I love seeing out there, but again, just the things that Adam and I talked about kind of forced me, hey, if I'm going to be up here for 2.5 hours, I think I'd prefer to be on the aisle.
Oh, absolutely.
I do that in the movie theater, too.
Right.
I saw a space shuttle launch out my window. It was a night launch as well. Oh, we were flying from D.C. To Miami, and I guess it's called the Space Coast. We were, I don't know, about 20, maybe 30 miles inside of the shore, and the timing was perfect, and we saw it from ignition to when the booster separated.
That's amazing.
And everyone who didn't have a window seat was quite jealous of my view at the time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I tell you, two of the most amazing views that I have, and it's always at night, is one flying into Chicago. Mm-hmm. I want, because I'm proud of my city, I have a civic pride for Chicago. When we do a base leg or whatever over the lake, and I want everyone to be on the side that can see the buildings, because I just think the skyline of Chicago is neat. And that's one where I just look forward to a window view. And two, in a thunderstorm, when it's off in the distance, it's a light show that cannot be repeated anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got a lot of pictures on simpleflight.net. There's a lot of pictures of Chicago at night, and it's kind of interesting. You could see, I'm like, no wonder why the Chicago city taxes are so high and Cook County is so high, because you can see, you know, all the orange lights, but you can literally see the outline of the city, because the orange lights are just 10 times brighter than every other town's lights. I'm like,
is that what it is? It's always different to me, but maybe that's all it is.
Yeah.
Just the streaks of light.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the many reasons, but hey, you know, as you're right, I think it's such a magical, it's very magical, you know, flying over that, because it's one of the few views in the entire world that, you know, when you start to think about it, there's, you know, how many cities are by big metropolitan areas are by a cool lake like that, and mm-hmm. you can, you know, that the lake is outlined by the city lights, and you can see, you know, how the city was built, and, you know, kind of maybe see a little bit in the past. It's kind of fun.
You know, yeah. I read an article recently that the city is replacing all of the orange lights.
Really?
And they're going to be like white halogen lights, and it's a project that's going to take a few years, but yeah, that view that you recognize of the orange hue and all the streets lined up, that's going to be changing over time.
Wow!
No way.
So yeah, it's time for us pilots to get out there and take advantage of this while we have it.
Yeah, right.
I did see, and I always thought the lights were normal. I knew they had a little orange hue to them, but obviously that's something that's different. And I just learned that just this moment.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll have to post that picture to Twitter and see what people think, see if they could tell a difference. I'll do that.
But again, you don't learn very well. We want to do a video on Spark Wheel.
you know,
old ways of thinking.
Al, you said something really interesting, which is that when you think about it and when you get to fly as a commercial pilot, you realize the country is really small and you can get to different places quickly. That in part is sort of what inspired me to want to go out and get my license.
Right.
And when you look at the innovation that's happening with small aircraft in the aviation industry, and
right,
you know, you start on that journey training to be a pilot, and you think one day maybe I could get one of those, you know, Cirrus Vision planes, and you look what these aircraft companies are doing with smaller planes, where you can, you know, where you can get in a plane that'll take you and your family on vacation, and you can get there quickly.
Right.
And so it's sort of like that aspiration.
Yeah, definitely.
That I think is getting a lot of student pilots out there, that, you know, one day they can do well in their career and retire and get an aircraft that'll pop them and their family over to a nice place quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I get we talked about it last week, the number of stories of people that have that dream and have that vision, but they say, I guess I'll just have to put that on hold. You know, financial reasons, family, what, I mean, I'm sure all very legitimate, but I just think it's such a shame that here it's a life goal or something so rewarding, and all of a sudden they can't deem that as a priority. And how can anything like that not be a priority if it's so high on, I've got to do this, more than a bucket list?
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. That's a good question. It's a good thing to tackle. You know, it's
Well, I think that's what we are. And we're going to figure out and help and bring the community together and talk more, or not talk, but actually see results in pilot communities growing. But there is the financial end, I think, too, that
right.
Of need and for pilots in the world. And no one's going to be around to fly all the wonderful things we need, right? And
right.
It's going to destroy the economy even more.
Absolutely.
When you get back to the community aspect, it opens up so many more doors. For instance, like you plan a flyout to another state, and maybe one person's budget, that's not within their budget, but then you all band together, and you know, you've got three or six people going, splitting the costs, and it really opens up so many more doors to you that otherwise wouldn't have been the case. And I think there's a common misconception that, yeah, I can't fly, it's just so expensive. We'll get a bunch of
yeah.
buddies and go out, and you guys all share that yourselves. And I think that's a great thing that we have.
I like that. You just sparked a good idea. Buddy flying lessons, community flying lessons.
Or just flying. And I, last week for Lewis and Adam's benefit, I talked about on the Thursday before the show, I went to the Cleveland area. We flew an airplane out there that needed some service. And I went along and I learned a lot. I never sat in the front seat. There was two other people doing that. I didn't pay a cent, and I got 7 hours of learning in an airplane and the experience.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's always the hitchhiking. I'm holding my thumb up for those that just listen, where you're saying, oh, can I go for a ride? And mm-hmm. and it can be satisfying and cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very cool.
Yeah. There's a, I think like universities did that. I think you have, where I went to school, they had this audit program, mm-hmm. you know, where you paid a reduced rate or whatever you didn't get a degree at the end, but they allowed you to sit in all the classes, kind of get the knowledge, but you know, you don't get the license or the degree per se, and but you get all the knowledge, which is yeah. exactly, you know, what happens in
yeah
well,
as
like
I
that.
As I said prior to, you know, I talked to a salesman in the 70s of selling airplanes.
Yeah,
I'll wash the airplanes for you, all you need to do is take me on a ride every now and then.
Right absolutely. I think we got some pretty cool things coming up. We should work on the Spark Reel and Simple Flight Aviation Challenge. We got a good Sporty's gift card on the line. And,
did we say for how much?
We did not.
We can make it a mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, next week we're going to be tuning in. You'll get a more a better idea and the next clue on how to get your hands on the Sporty's gift card, as well as a nice Simple Flight t-shirt. So I think there's a lot of cool things to look forward to. In pursuit of that, we're going to find more people doing amazing things in aviation and continue doing what we're doing to make aviation better than it already is.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
And excellent. I will say that, knowing that aviation, anything that says aviation, probably got a few extra pennies tied to it, will make it worth something. It's not going to be a $5 Sporty's
gift card.
You'll be able to buy something with it, and it'll be a great investment with which we'll see a terrific ROI, return on investment.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe even get a Simple Flight t-shirt,
yeah.
which would really increase the value.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, right. Yeah, well. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun to see everybody's videos on Spark Reel,
and everyone will get recognition.
Yeah,
maybe only one person will win the money, but we'll talk about each one and maybe even have some of them call into the show and talk to us about that experience.
Right, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate you coming out, and look forward to having you back on for the final judging of the contest and everything, and we'll award a nice gift card. So thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, this was you. Great.
Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah, I'm yeah, excited too.
It was a lot of fun. So anyway, we'll be back next week, broadcasting live from a fix unknown, but whatever fix we're going to be broadcasting underneath, you pull out your four flight or your JEP chart, and you'll figure out exactly where we're at. In the meantime, check us out on simpleflight.net. or listen to us live Sunday nights at 8 p.m. on thanolive.com, and it'll be a good show next week. I'm
looking
excited.
Looking forward to it. Me too.
Absolutely. Anyway, thanks, guys, for coming with us. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Blue skies.
Tailwinds.